Show Me the Science with Professor Luke O'Neill.
Hello, Luke O'Neill here, and welcome to Show Me the Science. Now, this week, a request. In fact, two requests have come in. And please do send me an email to laoneill, with two L's, at tcd.ie. I'll try and deal with them. Now, the trouble is, I've got about 12 requests in front of me. And now, I'm inclined to pick things I know something about, mercifully. And even better if I've even researched the thing myself. But I'm happy to take any suggestions, really. And if I feel I can cover it, I will. Especially in the biomedical arena, which is my special strength. Anything, really. But this week, it's the science of hemochromatosis. And Caden O'Keefe and Carrie Beckland have asked me to cover this topic. And I'm not surprised. To Caden and Carrie, great suggestion, because it's very common. And in fact, in Ireland, it's especially common. They reckon in Ireland, 1 in 83 of us have hemochromatosis. And in many, it goes undiagnosed. There's various symptoms and they could be down to hemochromatosis. The more severe end is obvious, which I'll come on to. But imagine 1 in 83. Now, what that means is we think we're all related in a strange way. There's some evidence that there was a founder effect. Now, what that means is somebody in Ireland, in this case, carried a gene mutation that gave rise to this, and we're all descended from that person. And they might have been around in the 4th century. They can even kind of date it, strange as it may seem, although that's a bit controversial. But still, some people think it might even have been Niall of the Nine Hostages. Can you believe it? This overlord. Now, the truth of it is, it's a bit like Genghis Khan. If you were the king back in those days, you had many, many babies. So imagine if you're carrying a gene that gives rise to hemochromatosis, that could have gone into hundreds of children in that person's lifetime, and we're all descended from those children, is the idea, and we're all carrying the gene. And maybe that's why it's so common in Ireland. It's called a founder effect, by the way. We see that with many genetic diseases. A single founder has loads of children, and usually in a remote place where there aren't many people coming in. And Ireland, of course, being an island, this could have dominated then and became much more common than in other places. Around the world, I think it's 1 in 1,000. Just shows you how much more common it is here with 1 in 83. Now, what is it? Hemochromatosis, the clue is in the name. Heme is all about iron. We use the word heme for iron. Chroma means colour. And hemochrome is kind of iron colour. And it means you're not getting rid of iron from your system. And iron is building up in the body. So it's quite a straightforward condition, really, because it's all about too much iron lingering in your tissues. And you can pick up iron in your heart, in your liver, in your pancreas. And if there's loads of iron there, that can cause damage and damage those organs. Now, the level of iron in really severe cases can be really high, and that really begins to cause damage. The way iron causes damage is interesting. If you have iron in your body, you're inclined to react with oxygen and you make what are called oxygen radicals. This is a bit like bleach. They're chemical derivatives of oxygen. They're called reactive oxygen species as well. And these oxidize your tissues and damage the tissue. So high iron is bad because it's giving rise to effectively bleach in your tissues, and your tissue is getting damaged by this. And you can imagine if it's in your heart and in your liver, that can cause damage. Now, the question that was discovered a long time ago, by the way, that hemochromatosis, when it was named, was all about iron building up in various parts of the body. It's easy to measure iron. Now, normally in our bodies, iron is on hemoglobin, and that carries iron around the body. And you need iron to transport oxygen, because iron reacts with oxygen, as I mentioned. In the case of hemoglobin, it's a natural reaction. It isn't generating any oxygen radicals. But you need iron in the hemoglobin to transport oxygen. And the hemoglobin carries oxygen all over your body. And we need oxygen, of course. We breathe in oxygen. Oxygen helps us to burn fuel to generate ATP, the energy currency, which I mentioned before. So that's the normal function of iron. You do see iron doing other things as well. Various enzymes can use iron as a special cofactor, for instance. But the main place we see iron is indeed in hemoglobin. It's the reason why blood is red, of course, because the iron and the oxygen gives a red colour. Now, we know this from rust. And when things get rusty, it's red. That's iron and oxygen reacting. The iron is becoming oxidized. And the reason why rust is the colour it is because of iron oxides. The reason why blood is red is because of the iron in hemoglobin giving it its red colour. But that's the normal function of iron. This is very different. The iron is now building up. Now, a lot of effort then went into trying to figure out what's going on. And lo and behold, they found the gene that is mutated in hemochromatosis, and it's called HFE. They use these initials to describe the gene. And it's quite a complicated thing, which I'll come on to. They don't fully know what that mutation in the gene called HFE actually does. But I'll come back to it. We know it's tied into iron, as I'll explain, and there's a few ideas around what HFE might actually do. But the mutation is in the HFE gene. Now, the symptoms, let's talk about those, because obviously maybe our people requesting this, they have it, or they're suffering from the symptoms, the hemochromatosis. Fatigue is number one. You build up, the iron builds up, puts pressure on your heart, pressure on your whole body, and you feel fatigued. And therefore, if you feel really fatigued persistently, go to your doctor, because they might diagnose hemochromatosis. And as I'll come on to, there's an easy way to treat it, a standard way to treat it, which I'll come back to. The second symptom is joint pain, especially in the hands. And they think iron is building up in the joint tissue. Again, it's reacting with oxygen to cause this oxygen radical thing, and those oxygen molecules are damaging the joints and causing the pain. So pain in the joints. Now, it could be that iron is accumulating in your joints because you're using your joints a lot. Lots of blood goes in there and some of the iron begins to build up in the joint tissue. The third symptom that's quite common is abdominal pain. And again, that's iron in your gut, irritating the gut. So therefore you get pains in your abdomen. And then a really one that's interesting, if it's very severe, your skin will darken. Very sallow olive complexion can be caused by iron building up in the skin and giving it this sort of slightly darker colour. And that seems to be a symptom of the more severe end. And then enlarged liver, because sometimes the iron is being deposited in the liver. That's a feature as well. And that can cause various symptoms as well if your liver is enlarged. And then you've also got, can sometimes get diabetes because the pancreas begins to get damaged as well. So these are the key symptoms. Now again, the HFE gene, there's loads of different mutations. It's not as if we're all carrying the same mutation, which is interesting. Some mutations give more severe hemochromatosis than others. So depending on the type of mutation you have, that might govern the degree of severity in the symptoms. And that's the idea there. What's also interesting is if you have the mutation in HFE and you have hemochromatosis, your risk of infection is a bit higher for things like listeria, hepatitis, hepatitis C, hepatitis B. They infect the liver and your liver is under a bit of pressure and these viruses begin to get a foothold. Quite why it's causing an increased risk of listeria isn't known. One idea is listeria loves iron. So if you have more iron in your body, the bacteria listeria will grow. And you all may remember listeria outbreaks have happened in Ireland from contaminated food. I did a podcast on the science of listeria a few weeks ago. So you're more at risk of certain infections as well. So it can be a tough old disease because you have all these symptoms and then also this increased risk of infection is part of it. Now, how do we treat it? Well, it's very simple. You bleed the person. It sounds like something from the Stone Age, doesn't it? Phlebotomy is the term for this, and the phlebotomist comes along and takes some of your blood. Now, why is that? You're lowering the iron in your body. Given that there's loads of hemoglobin in the blood and loads of iron on the hemoglobin, you remove the blood and iron levels begin to fall. You begin to make fresh blood, of course, so regular bleeding is a feature. Women are a lot less likely to get it because they menstruate. So it's much more common, the symptoms are. The hemochromatosis itself is equally common in men and women, but women are less likely to present with the symptoms because of menstruation. They're losing blood every month, and that's managing to keep the total level of iron accumulating in your body down, which is quite useful. But phlebotomy is a straightforward way to treat this condition. It doesn't work well for some people, especially the more severe end. In that situation, you can take drugs called chelators, iron chelators. And these are chemicals that can bind iron, and they're extremely safe, and you take them and they go into your body and they mop up the iron and then lower the level of iron in the system. And the dose has to be careful, because if your iron is too low, you get anemia, which means you're not carrying enough oxygen around your body because there's less iron available for the hemoglobin to carry the oxygen. So you gotta be careful, and the dose of the chelators can be set carefully, but they work really well, these chelators, for people with hemochromatosis. So again, they're two very useful options, phlebotomy to bleed or to take a chelator. You should avoid iron supplements at all costs. Obviously, don't be taking iron because you don't need to, because you have loads of it already. And sadly, you don't drink too much, because alcohol can make the iron sort of store more. They've noticed this, that alcohol consumption increases iron storage in the body. It also puts pressure on the liver, which of course is in a bit of trouble already because of all the iron that is in the liver. Now, let's get more molecular. So what is HFE and the mutation in it? Why does that give rise to hemochromatosis? Well, HFE stands for human homeostatic iron regulator protein. That's why we call it HFE, because it's far too many words to say. But this protein in your body If you carry two copies, now remember, you get one copy off your father and one off your mother. If they're mutated in both, you get hemochromatosis. And therefore, you know, you've got to have, both parents have to be carrying the mutation for the child to develop hemochromatosis. Now, often the parent is only carrying one broken gene, has a normal one, and they don't get hemochromatosis. Both copies of the gene have to be broken, and you're making the protein that doesn't do its job then. And I guess, I hope you all know this, you've got two copies of every gene in your body, one from your mother, one from your father. It turns out one is sufficient to ward off hemochromatosis, but if you're missing both genes in terms of them being mutated and not working properly, then you will get hemochromatosis. So it's not unusual then for parents not to have it and a child to have it, and the parents not even knowing it. How would they know they're carrying a broken HIV gene until they have the baby, you know? And then the baby is born with both copies and they develop the broken gene. Now, what does it do? Well, it is involved in iron transport. That's the key thing that was discovered, of course. And in particular, it helps transport iron around the body. Now, hemoglobin, as I mentioned already, is front and center as a protein that binds iron. The second most abundant protein that binds iron is called transferrin. And as the name suggests, it transfers things. In this case, it transfers iron. So when you eat iron in your diet, and remember, we get iron in meat, obviously, and it also occurs in certain plants as well. It goes into your stomach, transferrin in the blood picks up the iron and then transfers it onto hemoglobin or onto other proteins that need iron. And it turns out that HFE helps that process. But when it's broken, not so much transfer is happening, and lo and behold, the iron begins to build up in the tissues is the overall idea here. And there's some evidence to support that. It is complicated though, and some science would suggest HFE, the broken form, makes transferrin work even better and brings even more iron into your body, you know. So, but we know it's connected into iron transport through the protein transferrin. Another very important thing HFE does is it helps you to absorb iron anyway. So even though transferrin is the protein in your blood that binds the iron and transfers it around the body, you will absorb iron across your stomach into your bloodstream. It's a very active process, actually, and in the intestine, and HFE seems to promote that. And of course, the mutant form then is doing too much of that. These are called activating mutations, is the term we use for this. And so if your HFE is overactive, you're absorbing far too much iron from your diet than you normally would. And now the iron begins to build up. So it's probably both those things. The HFE protein helps transferrin do its job. If it's broken, the transferrin does too good a job of transferring iron and the iron builds up. The second is the HFE is helping you absorb iron across your stomach and your intestines into your bloodstream, and it's overactive and it's bringing far too much iron in. You're absorbing far too much. But as I say, it's not fully known. It's still a huge study of investigation anyway about iron metabolism. The iron, I know some iron experts actually. There are people who just work on iron. Iron is key for your immune system, by the way. Not just to bring in oxygen, but certain immune proteins need iron as well. So the control of how iron is being metabolized is really important for many aspects of biology, I guess. And there's no doubt that iron deficiency, which happens in Africa when people are malnourished, lowers your immune system. So one reason we see malaria or TB in Africa is partly because they aren't getting enough iron. Secondly, if you give kids an iron supplement, vaccines work better in those children. Isn't that amazing? And there were trials running in Africa at the moment. One of my great colleagues, Hal Drakesmith, he's in Oxford. He's a big iron specialist. He was telling me they're giving trials now in Africa where they give kids vaccines with an iron tablet, and it makes the vaccines work better because iron is needed to boost your immune system. Now, too much iron, though, remember, is a bad thing. You need the right level of iron yet again. And in the case of hemochromatosis, it's definitely far too much in your body is the overall idea here. Now, the other thing to say is this, one last little bit of science for you. HFE can also affect a thing called hepcidin, another protein involved in iron metabolism. And in this particular case, the hepcidin really makes the iron more toxic and can drive iron's nasty side, which is to cause oxygen radicals to be made. So I'll give you that again. It's yet another target. I tell you, it's a complicated business, this. So HFE somehow makes iron a bit more toxic through this hepcidin pathway. Now, that will make the iron then more dangerous. So basically, if you're carrying the HIV mutant, you're taking in too much iron across your stomach, you're transferring too much iron through the transference system, and you're also making the iron a bit more toxic in terms of generating oxygen radicals. And all of this then gives rise to these various symptoms that we see in hemochromatosis. And as I say, in Ireland, 1 in 83 might have it. Now, the last thing I want to tell you, though, is why would it be so common? And you do see it being higher in some populations than others. One reason might well be starvation. So if your population is under nutritional stress and there isn't sufficient iron in the diet for whatever reason, because of famine, the ones who can absorb more iron might survive. So the reason why this mutation persists then, even though it comes at the risk of various symptoms, it allows people to survive when iron levels are low. So, for example, you might have the mutant and I won't. There's very low iron in our environment. You'll absorb much more than me into your body. And then you'll be healthier than me because my system can't take in as much iron as you. And maybe that's why this HFE mutant gene has persisted. And there's some theories that in the 4th century or soon after, there might have been a famine. And the kids of Nile, of the 9 hostages who survived, were the ones that were carrying the hemochromatosis variant, and they survive, and then they start spreading the gene onto others. And there's some evidence for this in certain populations. It's very interesting to consider the famine we had in Ireland in the 1840s. Of course, the survivors of that may well have characteristics along these lines. So maybe the one in 83 is partly down to the famine. People who survived carry that gene, the ones who didn't die out, and now it persists more and more in the population. And that's one idea why this gene may be so common. If it was so damaging, you see it gets selected out, wouldn't it? You wouldn't see it as such a common thing. It doesn't seem to affect fertility too much. The milder end you can tolerate, it's the more severe end that's troublesome. So maybe this is one reason why this particular mutation in HFE has persisted in the population, giving rise to this disease that is hemochromatosis. And remember, it's a fascinating piece of genetics that this was all figured out. Mercifully, it can be treated, thankfully. The more severe end, as I say, chelators can be really deployed there. So for the people who have asked me to cover this, thank you very much for the request. Remember, go to your GP. Extremely important. And there will be treatment options available to you if you have hemochromatosis. So there you have it, the science of hemochromatosis. A big thanks to Caden and Carrie for suggesting it. And of course, my podcast is a News Talk production, available every Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.